With some spare change from Ares' backpack, we took the bus into West Hollywood. I showed the driver the underworld address slip I'd taken from Auntie M's garden gnome emporium, but he'd never heard of DOA recording studios. "You remind me of someone I saw on TV," he told me. "You a child actor or something?"
I'm a stunt double for a lot of child actors."
"Oh, that explains it."
We thanked him and got off quickly at the next stop. We wandered for miles on foot, looking for DOA. Nobody seemed to know where it was. It didn't appear in the phone book. Twice, we ducked into alleys to avoid cop cars. I froze in front of an appliance store window because a television was playing an interview with somebody who looked very familiar. My stepdad, Smelly Gabe. He was talking to Barbara Walters. I mean, as if he were some kind of huge celebrity. She was interviewing him in our apartment in the middle of a poker game, and there was a young blonde lady sitting next to him, patting his hand. A fake tear glistened on his cheek. He was saying,
"Honest, Miss Walters, if it wasn't for Sugar here, my grief counselor, I'd be a wreck. My stepson took everything I cared about. My wife, my Camaro. I'm sorry. I have trouble talking about it."
"There you have it, America," Barbara Walters turned to the camera. "A man torn apart. An adolescent boy with serious issues. Let me show you again the last known photo of this troubled young fugitive, taken a week ago in Denver." The screen cut to a grainy shot of me, Annabeth, and Grover standing outside the Colorado Diner talking to Ares. "Who are the other children in this photo?" Barbara Walters asked dramatically. "Who is the man with them? Is Percy Jackson a delinquent, a terrorist, or perhaps the brainwashed victim of a frightening new cult? When we come back, we chat with leading child psychologists. Stay tuned, America." "Come on," Grover told me. He hauled me away before I could punch a hole in the appliance store window. It got dark, and hungry-looking characters started coming out on the streets to play. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm a New Yorker, I don't scare easy, but L.A. had a totally different feel than New York. Back home, everything seemed close. It didn't matter how big the city was, you could get anywhere without getting lost. The street pattern and the subway made sense. There was a system to how things worked. A kid could be safe as long as he wasn't stupid. L.A. wasn't like that. It was spread out, chaotic, hard to move around. It reminded me of Ares. It wasn't enough for L.A. to be big. It had to prove it was big by being loud and strange and difficult to navigate, too. I didn't know how we were ever going to find the entrance to the underworld by tomorrow, the summer solstice. We walked past gangbangers, bums, and street hawkers who looked at us like they were trying to figure if we were worth the trouble of mugging. As we hurried past the entrance of an alley, a voice from the darkness said,
"Hey, you!"
Like an idiot, I stopped. Before I knew it, we were surrounded. A gang of kids had circled us, 6 of them in all, white kids with expensive clothes and mean faces, like the kids at Yancey Academy, rich brats playing at being bad boys. Instinctively, I uncapped Riptide. When the sword appeared out of nowhere, the kids backed off, but their leader was either really stupid or really brave because he kept coming at me with a switchblade. I made the mistake of swinging. The kid yelped, but he must have been 100% mortal because the blade passed harmlessly right through his chest. He looked down. "What the?" I figured I had about 3 seconds before his shock turned to anger. "Run!" I screamed at Annabeth and Grover. We pushed 2 kids out of the way and raced down the street, not knowing where we were going. We turned a sharp corner. "There!" Annabeth shouted. Only 1 store on the block looked open, its windows glaring with neon. The sign above the door said something like, "Crustize, Waitre, Bidet,
A place, eh? Krusty's Waterbed Palace, Grover translated. It didn't sound like a place I'd ever go except in an emergency, but this definitely qualified. We burst through the doors, ran behind a waterbed, and ducked. A split second later, the gang kids ran past outside. "I think we lost him," Grover panted. A voice behind us boomed.
"Lost who?"
We all jumped. Standing behind us was the guy who looked like a raptor in a leisure suit. He was at least 7 feet tall with absolutely no hair. He had gray, leathery skin, thick lidded eyes, and a cold reptilian smile. He moved toward us slowly, but I got the feeling he could move fast if he needed to. His suit might have come from the Lotus Casino. It belonged back in the 70s, big time. The shirt was silk paisley, unbuttoned halfway down his hairless chest. The lapels on his velvet jacket were as wide as landing strips. The silver chains around his neck, I couldn't even count them.
"I'm Krusty," he said with a tartar yellow smile.
I resisted the urge to say,
"Yes, you are."
"Sorry to barge in," I told him. "We were just, browsing."
"You mean hiding from those no-good kids?" he grumbled. "They hang around every night. I get a lot of people in here, thanks to them. Say, you want to look at a waterbed?"
I was about to say, "No thanks," when he put a huge paw on my shoulder and steered me deeper into the showroom. There was every kind of waterbed you can imagine. Different kinds of wood, different patterns of sheets, queen size, king size, emperor of the universe size.
"This is my most popular model."
Krusty spread his hands proudly over a black sheeted satin bed with built-in lava lamps on the headboard. The mattress vibrated, so it looked like oil-flavored jello.
"Million hand massage," Krusty told us. "Go on, try it out. Shoot, take a nap, I don't care. No business today anyway."
I said, "I don't think..." "Million hand massage," Grover cried and dove in. "Oh, you guys, this is cool." Krusty said, stroking his leathery chin.
Almost.
"Almost what?" I asked. He looked at Annabeth.
"Do me a favor and try this one over here, honey. Might fit."
Annabeth said, "But what?" He patted her reassuringly on the shoulder and led her over to the Safari Deluxe model with teakwood lions carved into the frame and a leopard-patterned comforter. When Annabeth didn't want to lie down, Krusty pushed her. "Hey," she protested. Krusty snapped his fingers.
"Ergo!"
Ropes sprang from the sides of the bed, lashing around Annabeth, holding her to the mattress.